Congratulations, guys. You've made it to session 6. In all of our sessions, we've been talking about the life of Elijah. And what better way to end than to end talking about legacy? Legacy is hugely important when it comes to all of our lives because there's people that are behind us that need from us so that they can continue in all the things that we've learned. The biggest thing is faith, continuing on in the faith. Growing up, my dad put us all around the table. He put us all around the table every night for dinner, and we ate dinner together, but he always wanted to distribute the faith to us. We each read a verse, and he wanted to know how we were doing at school and how we were infusing God into everything that we were doing in our lives. And I find myself doing the same thing with my kids now, sitting at the table at dinner time, passing on the faith. How are you passing on the faith? Let's grow together in faith as we end our study and our session with legacy.
As we come to the conclusion of Elijah's life and Elijah's lessons, we find in 2 Kings chapter 2, his legacy. Legacy is like a baton in a relay race. You know, in a relay race, it's not just how fast you are, it's how well you pass the baton. And you can run like crazy, but if you don't pass that thing on right, all that hard work and hard practice and hard running was in vain. That's the legacy. It's passing it on. Now, in order to pass it on, you got to have it. You know, it's hard to pass on something you don't possess. When we write our wills out, when we talk about our inheritance, we say what we're putting in the will based on what we have. We can't put something in our will that belongs to somebody else because it's not ours to pass on. Elijah had a great spiritual history and heritage to pass on. And he passed it on to Elisha. And that transaction and transfer is recorded for us in the second chapter of 2 Kings. And there are four things that I want to share with you about this legacy. First of all, it involved Elijah passing on to Elisha the importance of loyalty, dependability. You see, as they were walking along, Elijah encourages Elisha to stay behind. You don't have to go here. Just stay behind. But every time Elisha said to Elijah, I will not leave you, verse 2. In verse 4, I will not leave you. In verse 6, I will not leave you. Loyalty. You don't want to pass money on to children who are going to throw it away and waste it. You don't want to waste stuff or things that are going to be destroyed or mishandled. That's why we have heirlooms, things that just keep passing down because there is a connection that links it. So he wanted to see who was going to be loyal. And he saw in Elisha a man who was loyal, who would preserve the legacy. He not only saw loyalty, he took him on a trip to give him learning. He took him to Gilgal, the place where the school of the prophets were, because he was going to be leading. He took him to Bethel. That's the place where Jacob wrestled with God so he would learn what wrestling with God was all about. He took him to Jericho, where he could see the power, where the power of God could be discussed when God tore down the walls. He took him to Jordan, where God could open up the sea. In other words, he walked with him so that he could learn them. It said that about Jesus. The disciples were Jesus' legacy. And so what did he do? He walked with them, not just preached at them. And that's what this gathering is all about, connecting people together who can walk with each other. Why? Because we want to create a spiritual legacy, a legacy that we can pass on our faith. You can pass on money and property and stuff, but in the world we live in, they need to have a faith they can hold on to. And that means you must be holding on to it and passing it on to them and letting them see you pass it on. And then he created leadership. Because we're told in verse 3, the sons of the prophets who were there at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today? He said, yeah, I know, but y'all be still. It's going to be okay. In other words, his own spiritual leadership helped comfort others in their time of sorrow and grieving about the loss that's going to take place with Elijah. In other words, he showed responsibility. And so there was this loyalty, there was this learning, there was this leadership that he built up in Elisha. And finally, and probably most importantly, there was a longing. Because guess what Elisha says to Elijah? He says to him, "Give me a double portion of your spirit. I want twice as much God on me as you had on you." Wow. You know, that's a legacy. When folks want twice as much of what they see in you, because what they see in you is so good that they want more of it. Elijah was so connected with God, so impactful in ministry, so rich, even though he did get discouraged, Elisha said, "I want more of that. I want twice as much as that." Elijah says to Elisha, after he asked in verse 9 for a double portion, "You've asked for a hard thing," he says in verse 10. "If you see me when I'm taken away from you, it shall be so. But if not, it shall not be so." Hear what Elijah said to Elisha. See, you get those two names mixed up, so you got to say it slow. Okay? He said, "If you see me when I leave, you'll have a double portion. If you don't see me, you won't." What was he saying? He was getting ready to be taken up to heaven, chariot of fire, by God. If you see God move on me, he will double me in you. He was saying, if you have eyes to see the spiritual, then you'll get more of God. You see, passing on a spiritual legacy where people can see God working, not just stuff happening, but God working. When people can see God moving in your life, like when Elijah was raptured up. My father is getting elderly now. He's moving real slow. I call him regularly to see how he's doing. When our kids were growing up, he gathered me and the children and our grandchildren around, and he told us the story of his own conversion. He told us the story of all that God had done when there was no job in providing. He told us the story. He told us how he dropped on his knees to call on God when he didn't even know where he was going to feed his family the next meal. He told us the story. He told us the story of him and my mom praying together for the conversion of their children. He told us the story. You know what he did? He gave us spiritual eyes to see some things. In fact, now, even in his latter years, he's telling us the story. And he's encouraging us to trust God. He's encouraging me to see what he sees. And the folks in your life, the folks who you gather with now, need to learn to see what God is showing you so they can piggyback on it and get twice as much of it. And if there was ever a time when there was a generation that needed twice as much as we have, it's this time, because it's twice as worse that they're living through. So you pass on a legacy to family, to friends, to relatives, to other church members. When your group meets, you don't just meet. You pass on a little something, something, and invite them to ask God to double it so that they can see the God you see at a much deeper level. I hope you're encouraged. Thank you for being with us, not only for this lesson, but for this series. And I trust that out of this, you will build a camaraderie that will give legacy to each other so that there will be a double level of growth as you feed off each other, as you pass the spiritual baton.